The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio, with your host, Cheryl Hongzermeyer. On our program today, we'll explore Chinese medicine, including herbal medicine, acupuncture, and much more. We invite your questions and comments during the show, too. Now, here is Cheryl Hongzermeyer.
Hello, listeners. And this is Cheryl Hongzermeyer, and I'm host of Sticking to the Point. I'm an acupuncturist in Silver Spring, Maryland, and a retired RN. And I'm very excited about this this show today on Sticking to the Point. It's basically a follow-up on the documentary move that's called 9,000 Needles. It was directed by Doug Dirth, and my other guest will be Dr. Maeda. And he's an acupuncturist located in Southern California, where he is specialized in stroke rehab acupuncture. And he teaches at the Emperor's College of Traditional Oriental Medicine in California. Now, just to start out, this 9,000 Needles was a wonderful documentary I saw a couple of years ago. And the director, Doug Dirth, was going around the country and talking with people about his experiences making the film. And that's how I ran into him. And I was so impressed by this wonderful movie, because it really went into acupuncture, how they practice it in China, and it just and how effective it is, and especially in this situation for stroke rehabilitation. I worked in shock trauma as a nurse, and I remember a lot of times different kinds of stroke victims, patients would come in, and we'd think, you know, we'd shake our heads because there was so little to offer here in the United States outside of physical therapy, some occupational therapy. And I remember my professors in acupuncture school years ago would just shake their heads because they'd see how people who had suffered a stroke, how much residual problems they had here in the United States when it's unnecessary, especially if you start with acupuncture and herbal medicine right away, right after basically the crisis point of, you know, right after the stroke and getting that person stabilized. It's good to start acupuncture right away. I remember them saying that. And I think we'll be just learning more about that today here for the it'll be wonderful for you and me to listen to both these guys. Now, we'll start out. I want to have Doug explain a little bit about the making of the movie and why he could you do that, Doug? Explain why you produced this movie.
Well, let's see. I guess I'll start from the beginning. I am a filmmaker by trade, so that kind of was always in the background there of this is kind of what I do for a living. But it really started when my 40-year-old brother had a massive, I guess all strokes are all devastating and tough, but he had a brainstem bleed, which is a very difficult stroke on a young man. And we found him in, you know, intensive care and in the hospital system here early on with lots of you know, challenges and things left from this stroke. You know, he was paralyzed on one side, and he had lost his speech, and he had severe double vision, couldn't walk, you know, all these things from this stroke. And my family going through the process here of trying to, I understood as well as my mom, who's a nurse, and the rest of my family, that with stroke, one of the things that's most important is that there's damage done to the brain by parts of the brain being deprived of oxygen. So the early stages, as you mentioned, you know, weeks, the first few months are, can be very, very important, because that's the time in which you can, as soon as a patient is stable, you can be aggressive with trying to help this patient recover. Sometimes the brain can heal. Sometimes it can build other neural pathways to replace the ones that are damaged. But it all, the key is to really get somebody into some kind of rehabilitation early on. So the long and short of it is that we had challenges that I think a lot of people face in this country with his health care and getting him the proper amount of rehabilitation and attention he needed early on. And my family was very, very frustrated. And I had read about a woman who had this very similar stroke. Her name was Ruth Leike. She had a very similar stroke and had written a book about it. And I read about that, and it talked about her. She had two Chinese exchange students living with her who suggested she go to China and attend a hospital there that sort of integrated very effectively Chinese medicine, acupuncture. You know, we always often associate China, acupuncture always, but Chinese medicine is sort of a very inclusive. There's all kinds of medicines like herbs and different types of things that encompass Chinese medicine. So there was a hospital there who was practicing that and integrating that with a lot of the Western medicine as well, as physical therapy and things like that, to treat specifically stroke patients. So that was my idea, was to try and get my brother there, raise the money, and I decided as a filmmaker, the only thing I knew how to do to really raise, I think it was going to cost us, I believe it was $10,000 to get him over there versus, you know, hundreds of thousands here in some kind of rehabilitation clinic. So I decided to make a documentary about the process of getting Devin to China, and then also documenting his care there and his progress. And that's where 9,000 Needles was born.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us how, was it sort of overwhelming for you there to be filming your brother? Did he have any problems with you doing this? How did that go as far as...
There's two challenges, you know, to make a documentary. One of the biggest sort of things that we as documentary filmmakers do is we want to go for the truth. So, you know, we have to be really open and willing to capture whatever happened. We didn't know if my brother was going to live, and surely it crossed my mind that we would be over there in China filming and potentially filming, you know, something terrible. But to me, it was all about the journey, and it was all about trying getting this, you know, to film this. And it also gave me a very good reason. You know, there was two selfish reasons behind filming this documentary. The first one was I didn't know anything about this hospital in China other than what I'd read online and had a couple conversations on Skype with the doctors there. So once they agreed to allow me to film, I figured my selfish thing was, well, we're going to have cameras there all the time. They're going to give him really great care. And then the other reason was also that I wanted to be there with Devin. I didn't want to send him to China all by himself for 4 months. So it kind of gave us something to concentrate on. And I kind of felt like, you know, Devin was cognitive enough to understand that we were filming, and he agreed to do it. And I felt like if he woke up every morning and I was interviewing him, or there were cameras in the room filming his recovery, then I felt like every single morning he would wake up, you know, expecting to recover. So we were kind of building this environment where everything was, you know, in place for him to make the best recovery he could, both physically and sort of on an emotional and spiritual level as well.
Wow. Yeah, it really was interesting watching the movie and how a lot of that really came forward. And just, you know, the workers that were in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses and the physical therapists and everybody that was involved, it was a beautiful way you did that to show how they cared. He had a gentleman that was with him for 24/7 helping him just doing the logistics of getting around because he couldn't walk. When he went there, he couldn't walk. He could do minimal amount of anything. You know, he could barely talk. So it was beautiful to see how people just worked with him in a very, let's do this, let's get it done way, but also developing a relationship with him, which was really nice. Yeah, that's very good. Now, how did you meet Dr. Maeda? How did this all come about? Now, Dr. Maeda, were you in China then?
No, I wasn't.
How did you connect with Doug just through this whole experience of hearing about his brother having acupuncture and Chinese medicine in China, or how did that come about?
Okay, so I'm an acupuncturist in Japan and as well as in California, and I was first licensed back in 1988, and does the stroke protocol, the acupuncture protocol for post-stroke treatment that is introduced in 9,000 needles. It's called Sinao Kaichou therapy. And this protocol was invented by Dr. Sher Shuemin. He's a world well-known big guy acupuncturist in Tianjin, China. Mm-hmm. And my school, the acupuncture school that I graduated in Japan, invited him to Japan to introduce this method to Japanese acupuncturists. And I was one of the acupuncturists who went through and then was certified through the 3 months of the intensive training to be certified to use this protocol. Back then, I was already working in a hospital where most of the acupuncturists work in acupuncture clinic. I was working in a general hospital where I see various diseases, and stroke was one of the major diseases that we used to treat. And the Oriental Medical Department was right next to the rehab department, and we had so much of a close relationship between us. We would work, actually it was an integrative approach of the Western therapies, physical therapy, and speech therapies, and then occupational therapies, working on the same patient, and then we brought in acupuncture. And after I was certified with this protocol, we started to treat the one same patient with the two approach, Western and Eastern, and the outcome, the result, and effectiveness of the treatment was really, really great. And as you have mentioned, treatment for the stroke is like a race against the time. The sooner, the better you start the treatment. And I was in a lucky environment to start the treatment to someone who just had a stroke. And we would start treating the patients the day the patient had a stroke. If it's hemorrhagic, we would have to wait to settle the bleeding to settle down. So we would wait 1 or 2 weeks. But in any way, we would start giving acupuncture treatment even in ICU, and that's one of the key to be more successful with the acupuncture treatment integrating with the Western medicine. Yeah. Well, I have that background, and I've been treating stroke patients more than 25 years using this protocol. Then I moved to California. I wanted to build my practice, and also one of my missions that I have is to spread the word about this protocol. which was never introduced to this country at that time yet. Then, so before the 9,000 needle came out, I think I've seen the little video clips of the partial portion of the 9,000 needle on YouTube. And because I periodically will search for stroke, acupuncture, I put those keywords and then look for something out there. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing Doug being treated by Dr. Scher-Schwemann, and I was like, oh, this is a method that I learned from Dr. Scher.
Uh-huh.
So I had that in my head. And one night I received a phone call from a colleague saying, oh, there's a film showing going on tonight in West L.A., and I think you should come. So I contacted the email that I was given, and that was Doug. And I introduced myself that I'm an acupuncturist, and I know how to do this protocol, and I'm in California. And then he invited me to come join the show, and I saw 9,000 Needle, the whole movie, for the first time. And it was a wonderful documentary film about love of family, limitation of the insurance system in this country, and the effectiveness of this acupuncture protocol for the post-stroke. And after the film, Doug usually have a Q&A session.
Right.
And of course, many questions comes. And then one question, okay, is this available in the U.S.? And Doug pointed me out, and I stood up, and I was really nervous. I'm not usually good at talking in front of people, but I explained what I do. And after the Q&A, I had a long line of people. I brought about 100 business cards, and they were all gone. They were so eager to learn and get the information about where and how that people can receive this acupuncture treatment. I was very, for the first time, I felt like I was accepted to introduce this method, because in the past 15 years till then, I approached doctors, PTs, nurses, everybody tried to introduce this protocol and tried to explain the wonder of effectiveness of this protocol, but I think this society, the American society, wasn't ready back then to accept acupuncture into the real medicine. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got in contact with Doug, started. That's the time when the things start to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting how, you know, I think more we're at the cusp, basically, here in the United States, of more and more people realizing the effectiveness of acupuncture in so many different ways. And especially, oh my God, this is absolutely wonderful for people to be able to be treated with acupuncture as they rehab with from a stroke, because I don't know how many people I know that are so fearful of the idea of having a stroke. They're so fearful, and one of the reasons why is because what has been offered to people in the past here? So I think this is important to get the information out that, there is hope that there is it is being practiced here now in the United States through your efforts, Dr. Maeda, and I think that's wonderful. Can you explain a little bit about how you go about teaching it at Emperor's College?
Okay, I'm a faculty member at the Emperor's College in Santa Monica, and I mainly teach a master's course, and my other expertise is since I'm from Japan and I'm a Japanese acupuncturist, I teach Japanese style acupuncture, and my work on this stroke protocol, the Shinnau Kaicho, is to kind of help a work of Dr. Sher to spread the word about this protocol. So what I do is I go around the country and then give a seminar to acupuncturists introducing how this method was constructed and then what are the points, the basic information. Because I can only teach so much in weekend courses.
Right.
And like how I went through the intensive training of the 3 months every day course is not available in this country yet. And so at this current time, I'm going to, just last month I was in New York giving a seminar about this protocol. And I will do a demonstration, and the people try to use this protocol because there's so much demand out there from the stroke patients. And then, as you said, Sherry said earlier, that in this country, if one has a stroke, usually physical therapy, the therapist is like the only one option, and there's not much option out there in this country. Maybe one can go to the oxygen chamber or something like that, but it's not really a treatment. This protocol, Shinran Kaicho, is very difficult and unique from and different from the other regular acupuncture. The uniqueness of this protocol is to try to resuscitate the brain cells that was damaged due to the stroke. And it's not only to treat the symptoms, which is like paralysis of the extremities or the motor impairment or the blindness. It tried to treat the root, which is the brain damage. So this method can be modified and then treat like TBI, traumatic brain injuries, or the spinal cord injuries, Parkinson's disease, vascular dementia due to stroke. So it has it gives an option to the patient to be supported and helped.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, about 2 years ago, I founded the Stroke Rehabilitation and Dementia Care Clinic at the Empress College, and I'm a director, and I'm there 2 days a week treating stroke patients, dementia patients. And also I have my own practice in Torrance, California, and I treat patients, stroke patients. But only, of course, I see other patients too. So, and little by little, and I'm spreading the word. Periodically I go out and then give a presentation at the stroke, sport groups. And also I go to a rehab center and sometimes the rehab department of the hospital to give an in-service to doctors there, PTs, OTs, SDs. And I'm getting more invitations from them. And doctors are the hardest, I think, to accept the acupuncturists. But like the ones who actually work directly with the patients, like OT, PTs, they are thrilled with my presentation, and when I show the little video clip of the before and after the effectiveness of the acupuncture, they all want to integrate. But I guess, again, this system of this hospital system is not ready yet. And I think that ultimately this acupuncture treatment has to be and should be done in the hospital setting because, again, a stroke treatment is the race against the time. The fresher, the better. And where the stroke patient who just had a stroke, they are in ICU, they are in the hospital, they are not at home. So as the acupuncture needs to access to a hospital setting, and then the hospital need to allow us to go in and then start treating the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the true integration of the medicine. Here and there, they talk about integration of medicine, but to me, the true integration hasn't happened yet in this country. And
right.
That's one of my missions to make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always, I tried one local hospital several years ago, where there were several of us that were trying to getting acupuncture credited to go into the hospital, and it was just like an uphill battle at the time. Although there is, I hear more and more about people actually getting their foot in the door in hospitals and being able to help. It's so. I remember that anesthesiologists at this hospital that I was at were really pushing for an acupuncturist on staff.
Right.
And they really saw the need. I think it's we've got a ways to go, but I think if the public becomes more educated that there is another, that how useful this is, that it may move forward more because there'll be such a demand.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. Well, on the integration side, this is, Doug, I just wanted to say on the hospitals and everything, I wasn't an acupuncturist by trade, but doing this film, I traveled all around the country, both to colleges. We've shown this thing at acupuncture schools, 9,000 needles, and we've also shown it at, the Cleveland Clinic and medical colleges. So there is a generation of medical professionals who are now starting to, wake up to this. There was a hospital in San Francisco where they were on a trial basis, but they were allowing acupuncturists into the oncology ward. And, the true integration, and I think this is one thing that made 9,000 Needles successful, is because it showed a real human side to all this, and it showed people who don't know anything about acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine, not just the medicine itself, but the sort of compassion that's behind this kind of approach that we lose in our medical system here that we're striving for so badly as patients, but we don't get, And I think there was a hospital in San Francisco that the acupuncturists were there, and, they were talking to cancer patients. And if a cancer patient said, I do need chemotherapy, or I feel like I need chemotherapy, then they would meet with the acupuncturist, and the acupuncturist would help them through that process by helping them through acupuncture be less sick from the chemotherapy, be able to eat, to be able to fuel their body, whereas a lot of people who go through this don't. So there is, again, it was true integration where someone may choose a more Western route, but we were still able to use acupuncture to support that. And one of the things I saw that I loved the most in China was that Devin's every day, if not every day, every 2 days, all of his doctors, Professor Shur, who was overseeing his care, but then also his physical therapist, everybody who was involved in his care were in the room at the same time evaluating Devin. Not like hospitals here where you're, rolled to this department and then you're rolled to this department. Everybody was in a room together, discussed his treatment, discussed his progress, and as a team, moved forward with sort of a united front on how his care should go.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. There's also a place here in Minneapolis called the Courage Center, which was a post-stroke rehabilitation center, but not just stroke, I think brain injuries in general. And place. And they were allowing acupuncture students in and acupuncturists to come in and work on patients. And I visited there, and it was very effective. And so, it's slow. People like Dr. Maeda who are helping spread the word as well. I think it's just educating the public. People have this sort of archaic, I'm talking about the general population now, have this vision of acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine as something ancient. And I think 9,000 Needles and these kind of things are showing people that it's the first time they really get to experience it. They haven't even really seen it sometimes.
Right.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think it gives them an opportunity.
Let's break for a quick break because we have a lot to talk about, and this is so exciting. Thank you so much. This is Cheryl Hungsmeyer. I have guest Doug Durth, who's a producer of 9,000 Needles, of documentary, and Dr. Maeda. We'll be back in just a little bit.
life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Caring for someone with autism can be full of challenges and triumphs. Wherever you are on your autism journey, we all benefit from good information and guidance. Join host Rob Haupt every week for a friendly show that will leave you inspired and informed. Tune in to Autism Spectrum Radio. Our guests include parents, advocates, and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Make the most of your beautiful life. Listen to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and co-host Kurt Wilhelm to gain tips on how to live healthier and happier, alleviate suffering, prevent disease, become more beautiful in body, mind, and fashion, and find peace, balance, and success in your life. Are you aware that every 3,500 calories that you eat above what you burn will put a pound of fat on your body? And running 1 mile only burns 200 calories? So portion size does matter, and migraines do have a cure. What is it? You'll have to tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Steps to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio with Cheryl Hungsermeyer. Do you have a question for Cheryl or her guest today? Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email at CherylHRadioShow@acumedicine-health.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Cheryl Hungsmeyer, host of Sticking to the Point, and I have my wonderful guests here are Doug Durth, the director of 9,000 Needles, and Dr. Maeda, who really has been working on trying to get a stroke rehabilitation programs in up in the United States. It's been a real rich discussion. I just want to I think it's be worth talking about how you guys would like to see us move forward here in the United States as far as stroke rehabilitation goes. Let's just start with that because that's what the 9,000 needle was focused on. Could you guys, Doug, you want to start on that?
Yeah, because then I think mine will be, and then Dr. Maeda can weigh in. Well, let me start by saying this. This film was made 4 years ago. My brother Devin is, you know, alive today, which I'm grateful for. I think that he is doing well in a sense of, you know, understanding and accepting what's happened to him and living his life that way. He still has challenges. You know, when we brought him back from China, we have trouble duplicating. The goal of this documentary, by the way, is not to send Americans to China. The goal of this documentary is to say, here's something that's working. Now let's figure out how we can do this here. You know, for Devin to have physical therapy, acupuncture, you know, an herbologist, somebody giving him Chinese herbs as well as whatever Western medicine he needs, he would spend all day, every day running, you know, 50 miles across town trying to make five different appointments. Whereas if there is a place where he can go and do this treatment in one place and have a very united team that treats him, I think Devin would still be doing much better to this day. And that's what I hope for other stroke patients, that we build towards things like that where it's accessible, it's available. By the way, it's a very inexpensive medicine overall compared to some of the other approaches. And I think the key to that is exactly what we're doing, is educating people. The more we know, the more we start saying, wait a minute, we want that available to us. And then we start, we start acting that way, we start voting that way, you know, and that's the key to making these changes, I believe.
Well, I want to just stop for a second. We have a call from Tom in Maryland. Let's take Tom's call and then we can get back, okay?
Great.
All right, Tom, welcome, and what's your question?
Well, I was just wanting to draw the discussion back at least a little bit to the, you know, what this documentary shows. I was fortunate enough to see it. And I think, you know, as far as the lay public is concerned, you know, it's a very instructive and educational and powerful documentary. This, and you haven't talked much about it. I know you have other things to talk about here, but, this, to the documentary filmmaker, your brother, as I recall, was a very fit specimen when he had his stroke. He was, as I recall, a state champion bodybuilder. He was, and he had this brain stroke. And, he got all the treatment he could get here, and he got to the point where, you know, the situation seemed hopeless. Otherwise, why would you send him halfway around the world to get treatment? And I recall from that film that what struck me, the very first day, they did acupuncture on this one point, which, after all this time he'd been languishing, it enabled him to move his foot just right away.
That's
a phenomenal thing. Just, you know, after all this time, and he just very quickly he could move that foot the first day, and then the, you know, the little by little gradual process of getting him able to move again. And you got to remember, this is after he had languished for a while, and a lot of the best time for treatment had already passed. So anyway, I really encourage people to, you know, to find a way to see this 9,000 needles thing, this documentary. I really encourage people to see that. It'll open your eyes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Doug, would you tell us how people can get a hold of this documentary?
Yeah, we have, you know, I manage a website, 9000needles.com, and so it can just be ordered directly there. I believe it's also available on, like, iTunes, or it was, you know, it's still available on iTunes. But, yeah, if they order it from 9000needles.com, we still have plenty left. And that's the thing. I just encourage people to order it and also share, you know, to share it, because it's educational on certainly the acupuncture. But, again, I like to say it's something we want to bring back here is just, you know, I just want to give one more quick story. Sorry, I love to talk about this. But, you know, when Devin was in the hospital here, he had already been laying around, you know, for days and days and days, paralyzed, basically, from his stroke. And I knew, just as somebody who was also a trainer and a bodybuilder, I knew the body. And I said, you know, we've got to make sure he keeps his circulation and that somebody's, you know, he's getting turned every 15 minutes. And so I went to the hospital staff. This was actually not an ICU. This was a post-hospital facility, but still pretty high level of care. And I said, you know, can we, you know, my wife's a masseuse, and we have this understanding. We want to bring somebody in and at least just give Devin a massage every couple of days. We want to keep his system working. And we, you know, in the hospital, of course, the bureaucracy of the system here said, no way, absolutely not. We can't do that. You know, you have no control in your care, but yet the minute we landed at this Chinese medicine hospital in China, the first thing they said to all of us, including his kids, was the best thing you can do is touch him. The best thing you can do is put your hands on him and talk to him and let him feel you there. And the doctors themselves came in, and they were always very compassionate and spent time and touched him and, you know, the things that we're so afraid to do here. And I think that that's, you know, again, maybe not something you would expect to talk about when you're talking about this kind of protocol, but it's a big part of it, you know, from being from the other side and somebody who watched it work. It's a really big part of this. So I think that's another thing that we can learn from this. And I think I've been approached by doctors and nurses who've come up to me. I've had nurses come up to me in tears saying, I want to spend time in the patient's room. We're just so understaffed, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the frustrations I had as a nurse, and that's I couldn't stand it. You know, I went into nursing because I cared, and here it is. It's frustrating, and I think you're right that this is it's wonderful that you know, the amount of it just sort of the mind, body, spirit really stands out when you see Chinese medicine being practiced correctly. I that's why I think, you know, what you brought up, Doug, before was the idea of, and also Dr. Maeda, the idea of integrating our healthcare system. And, you know, just recently I heard that there are like these integrative medicine departments in 16 medical schools now in the United States, where these young professionals who are going to be physicians will actually see what happens when it comes to using different methods of besides Chinese medicine. There's all kinds of things, Reiki and massage and everything that goes along with the whole alternative, complementary and integrative medicine. And that's being a new thing that I think we're going to have doctors coming out of medical schools who'll say, you know, you would do well by getting acupuncture, or, you know, that kind of thing. They're being educated right from while they're in medical school, which I think is a forward moving thing. Dr. Maeda, would you like to make a comment here as far as what do you think we need to do moving toward a clinic kind of a rehab situation? What do you think we need to do here?
Yes, yes, that's my theme for like past 20 years. And what needs to happen, I will just say, since the topic is stroke rehabilitation. So, again, stroke treatment is most effective if you start the treatment as soon as the patient had an onset. So, in order to integrate this acupuncture stroke protocol with the modern medicine, in the current environment, so acupuncturist needs to go into the Western hospital setting and then have the access to treat the patients from possibly day one. As Doug said, it is very important to stimulate the patients. Tapping is a stimulation. When the brain is shut off and then there's an upper motor neuron system not working properly, the brain does not shoot out the signal to the extremities to supposed to move my hand, lift my leg, and that signal is not getting there. By touching, it's a reversal stimulation of the nervous system by touching hand. And then the brain recognizes that sense, oh, someone is touching my hand. And that is a reconnection of the nervous system. So maybe it's a cultural difference that in Western, this is a clinical and life-threatening condition, so, you know, do not do anything, do not touch, do not move the patient. In Asia, this is a critical condition, so we have to do whatever we can do. Revive the brain cell that is dying. We need to save them. We have to stimulate them. So it's a different concept. The acupuncture is founded based on that of theory and the concept. So therefore, we will go in to ICU and start needling, because needling does not require any massive movement of the patient's body. So it's very stable and it's not radical, yet powerful enough to stimulate the brain and they activate the blood flow to the brain. And so that kind of treatment is needed for optimum recovery of the patient. And as you said, I am an acupuncturist because I care about patients. And I want the best for the post-stroke patients. So when I think about what's the best, and as an acupuncturist, I like to combine acupuncture and the modern medicine. Then the environment has to be there, which has to be a hospital setting where the environment is ready for any kind of sudden critical change. They're ready to take care of that kind of issue, as well as provide whatever the patient needs to recover. So actually, what I'm hoping is to create this integrative medicine center where patients can have a lot of options, not only Western medicine, but Eastern medicine, Reiki, meditation, anything, massage, Twina, Qigong, anything that we can think of to have more options to the patients. Mm-hmm. And the only the reason I cannot make that is because I don't have money. if I can get like a grant or some very rich people donate me a money, then I will start making it today. Actually, I am in a contact with this very well-known rehab center. It's a national rehab center in California that the several doctors there are very interested in my work. And then we've been having a meeting for this past year, and these doctors want to have the integration of acupuncture, meditation, Qigong, Reiki with the modern therapies for the brain injury patients, spinal cord injury, and also, of course, the stroke patients. Mm-hmm. And so there is a movement, but it hasn't yet happened.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm working on currently. And I'm experiencing a difficulty from like a doctor to convince doctors then make this happen. There's a lot of demand already. So it is, I think, I have the feeling it's easier to educate the public, patients, caregivers, families, and the direct therapists who are actually working with them, who understands the real need of the patients and the family, which are the therapists and the nurses. And then they're the one who has to raise the voice and says, hey, there's a great opportunity for the patients to show a much better recovery. And then eventually the doctors in the hospital system to hear that voice to integrate and create the system. And that's what I like to see. And that I think that's what this society needs.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Maeda. Let's take a quick little break and be right back to this has been a wonderful, deep, beautiful discussion. Okay, let's go for a break now.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio with Cheryl Hungsermeyer. Do you have a question for Cheryl or her guest today? Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email at CherylHRadioShow@acumedicine-health.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you. This has been such a wonderful, rich discussion today on Sticking to the Point. My guests are Dr. Atsuki Maeda. Sorry, I'm terrible with Japanese. And I really appreciate your input here today, and Doug Dirth, who's a director of 9,000 Needles, a wonderful movie that I encourage people to get a hold of. You can always just go to 9000needles.com and see if you can get that movie and show all your friends. It's a beautiful, and it really is educational. And Dr. Maeda has a couple of websites that you could go to for further information about stroke acupuncture. It's M-Y, Maeda is M-Y-A.
It's M-A-E-D-A.
Oh, yeah, M-A-E-D-A, acupuncture.com. Or there's another one, it's stroke rehab acupuncture.com. And so those are two websites you could go to Dr. Maeda and make sure that you can get him to come speak. It'd be wonderful to get more acupuncturists educated and interested in stroke rehabilitation, this whole part to it. And I encourage all you acupuncturists out there who are listening to invite Dr. Maeda for come for seminars and more discussions. It's been such a wonderful discussion. You guys, do you want to say something just to wrap it up? We're just about to the end of our show.
Yeah, I would like to just say one quick thing. We're having a nice, wonderful, casual, educational conversation today. But I want to just stress the importance of, you know, when you have a stroke, I want to stress the importance of moving quickly and rapidly. Devin went to China 90 days after his stroke. The doctors wished he would have been there a day after his stroke. Most patients turn to acupuncture as a last resort after years of trying everything else, and we're missing a huge window by not making it a first resort. So
right.
We have pressure on us to talk about these things, but to move, you know, because people are missing a very, very valuable window of treatment. Because they choose this as a last desperate resort and not a first step of action.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes, that's important. And if nothing else, get a hold of Dr. Maeda in California and see if you can figure out ways that can be helped right away as soon as you can. If you do have had a stroke or you have some loved one who has experienced it. And also, I think it's very important to, you know, push your doctors and you push your hospitals to get this integrative approach toward stroke rehabilitation and just rehabilitations for spinal cord injuries, etc. It'll make a huge difference in the United States. We have a long way to go, but I think it's very exciting that this is a new, even though it's an old medicine, we are applying it to life today, where we can make a difference on people's lives. It's sort of like a stream, a petal in a stream. It just spreads out, and I think that that is the beauty, and I think it's a very loving kind of thing to do. Dr. Maeda, do you have anything else to say?
Yes, it was very pleasure to be on your show. So thank you so much for inviting me. And it was really nice talking with my buddy Doug. And
yes.
I just want to say the importance is the quicker the better to start the treatment, and then acupuncture should be one of the first choice for the post-stroke condition. And as an acupuncturist, as a healthcare provider, I just hope for, the best possible recovery for all the stroke patients who suffer with the post-stroke condition. It's a life-changing, devastating event, and it literally changes one's life, and not only with the one's life, but with the family and the close friends and the caregivers. It involves so many lives around. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be any possible help to them. So I am welcome to give any advice, any clue, any help, any support that I can give. And also I'm really eager to spread the word about it and then they educate other acupuncturists for it. And then I hope, this treatment is available to many more patients who can be benefited from. So that's only my hope and wish. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for being on my show. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. And this is Cheryl Hungsmeyer with Sticking to the Point. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio with host Cheryl Hungsmeyer can be heard every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.